We're going to conclude the series today called Help, I've Got Kids. Anybody by a show of hands ever felt that way? Help, I've got kids. Yeah, if you can't raise your hand to that, that's okay. I do believe what you're going to hear me say today is very applicable to your own personal spiritual development. I think there's some very fun parallels if you're not a mom or not a dad to how we're going to conclude this service. But we've had a scripture that's kind of been our foundation scripture through this series, and it's found in Proverbs 24, verses 3 and 4, and here is that scripture. We read, "A house is built by wisdom, it is established by understanding." And so what we've been speaking of for the past 4 weeks is wisdom and understanding. Here is biblical wisdom. Wisdom is when you know the right thing and then you do the right thing. Just because you know something doesn't make you wise. The Bible says when you know it and then you do it, that equals wisdom. When you know the right thing and you do something different, do something else, you know what the Bible calls that? Foolishness, all right? And there's been times in our life, I'll speak personally, there's been times in my life when I've been foolish. I've known the right thing, yet I've done the opposite. But man, our goal as a church family is to be wise, that we know it and then we do it. What about understanding? Understanding, the house is built on wisdom and understanding. It's established by understanding. Understanding is when you get it. Understanding is when that light bulb goes over on the top of your head and you're like, oh, that's why. That's why God says that. That's why the Bible says that. That's why I see that. Oh, that's why. And this is, and it just, you begin to establish. You continue to live your life that way because it simply makes sense to you. That's what understanding means. Now, we are building a house together, right? It says a house is built. We are building a house together. This morning, the church family is built together. It's not just built by me and a few other people. We build this team together. Last week, if you weren't here, I would encourage you, if you don't listen to any extra teaching that we have given at New City, I beg you to go back and watch last week's sermon. Last week, I talked on Nehemiah and how God used Nehemiah to rebuild the wall around Jerusalem, and I made the call to parents and to the church family, to everyone in the room, of what it looks like to stand in the gap for the lives of our children. At the conclusion of that service, I asked people to get out of their comfort zones and choose to serve this local church. My goal was to get 10 new family ministry leaders. Like between both services, I just wanted to say, man, hey, family ministry, here's 10 leaders from our Sunday morning worship service that are going to begin to partner with you as we teach our kids. We had 50. Yeah, let's clap for that. That's not total 50. 50 new people last Sunday decided to do something, now get this, decided to do something that they're not naturally gifted at. They decided to do something that they don't know what to do. Jen was showing me pictures this morning of some of those new volunteers sitting around leading Bible studies, small groups with our children. And I just want to say to those of you who signed up, man, thank you for that. 50 brand new, doing something that you would say, man, I'm not even like excited about, but I know the need. I see the need. Because here's the thing. How do I say this? I want our children, the kids at New City, the kids in your home, the kids that you call yours, to grow up seeing how big God is, not how big God was. I don't want our kids just to be able to read stories in the scripture and go, wow, look at that, man, that God in the Bible, he was, man, that's pretty remarkable. I want God to see what he's doing in our lives today, what God's doing now. And that's why, man, I'm so happy and pleased that so many of us joined together to build this church ministry. Now, here's what happens, though, today. Here in about, I don't know, we'll probably get out of here at about 10, what we start, 11, 10:30 today? The time we started? I have no idea, right? So about here in about 45 minutes, we'll be done, and you're going to go to your homes. And it's really hard, it's easy to parent when you got people around you, right? It's hard to parent at home. I don't know if you've experienced that, right? Like, I wish my kids acted at home like they act here and act at school, because they're like on their best behavior. Right? And we go home, and it's sometimes challenging. So we build here together, but then you go to your individual homes. And I just kind of made some notes here, because in your home, you might experience these things. You might experience both the hugs and the fights. Anybody say amen? So if I say something, and you're like, oh, that's my world. Now, even if you're like, have adult children, I know some of you are sitting beside your adult children here today. I have a dad, his name is Jimmy Dole Miller. I'm still his boy. Right? I still have a father. He still has a son. The parenting looks a lot different. I don't get spanked anymore, right? He may want to, but he doesn't, right? But so if you connect with one of these, you may want to give a little bit of an amen. How about this one? This is in my home. In my home, you have the good nights and the, you better get your butt back to bed. Amen. Yeah, right? It's like reversed terrorist negotiations, right? If you come out. Okay. How about the teenager who slams their door and screams that they hate you? Right? All right? Or maybe it's your wife that slams the door and screams. I don't know. I hope not that, right? Or it's your daughter as she lies on her bed crying because they just broke up and her heart is just tender and sad. Maybe it's your child who comes home with his head hanging low because he didn't make the team. It's these things where, like, you want to so much protect, rescue, save, but you can't, right? Because it's just life. It's just kind of moving. There are things that happen in our homes that you can't Google. And, you know, like some of us, like, I know Stanton Cole's in here somewhere. Like, Stanton and I will YouTube things to figure out how things work. You can't YouTube parenting. It'll say video not available. Like, there's nothing for you to do in that except just, like, go, all right, I'm just going to give it my best shot, right? And I'm so glad that you're here today, because what I want to do is I want to talk about how we partner together. I want to tell you, like, why what New City strives to do. We call it orange. We call it orange because when you take red and you take yellow and you put those two colors together, you get this color orange. And orange is a teamwork. Orange is a partnership. So, for example, we are excited to be able to take the heart of the family, red, that's you guys, and the heart and the love that you bring for your kids, for your spouse, for your family, and then pair it with the light of the local church. That's what we do. Like when you, like right now in Kid City, we're not babysitting your children. They actually have a mission statement. And that mission statement is this, that we are actively trying to inspire your child to trust in and live like Jesus. That's what's taking place right now. That your child is being inspired to trust in salvation and live like discipleship, a specific person. Jesus, that's what's going on. In here, what are we doing? This morning, I'm going to do my best to inspire the adults to trust in and live like Jesus, that you would trust in Jesus for his salvation, but also discipleship, that you would live your life as Jesus lived his. That's what we do together. It's the heart of the family plus the light of the local church, and together we have orange. I beg you to partner with us as we do this. Now, today what I want to do as we wrap up this series is talk about how this might look like, and I want to bring us to Psalms 127, verses 3 through 5. Okay, it's going to be on the screen, but this might be a good scripture for you to look at a little deeper this week. King David says in Psalms 127, let me take a drink. He doesn't say that. That was me. But we have kids. He might have said, I want to take a drink. He said, children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from him. Children born to young men are like arrows in a warrior's hands. How joyful is the man whose quiver is full of them. So in Psalms 127, David uses two things to explain what kids are like, a gift or a reward and arrows, right? And so let's talk about this first one just quickly. It says children are to be a gift. Something. What do we do with a gift? When you are given a gift, you receive it and then you enjoy it. So King David is saying that our kids, we are to receive our children and we are to enjoy our children. But let's be real for just a moment. There are times when our kids seem like anything but a gift and a reward. Somebody says amen on that one too, right? There are times when our kids are a burden, they seem like a pain, or maybe you have other language that you like to use to associate to your children. I want to speak to this just real quickly. Here's what I want to encourage you. If you're here today and you're in a situation where you don't see your child as a gift or a reward, I want to partner with you as best we can. Here's the thing. I cannot promise you, nor do I commit that we will fix your kid. I can't speak to that. But what I can commit to is this church has people, men and women, who are willing to partner with you as you parent a tough situation, as you pray through a tough situation. That we can partner with you on willingly. But I know that sometimes when you're a mom or a dad or an aunt or uncle, grandma or grandpa, somebody who's given a care to kids and you're having problems, you don't want to talk about it because there's so many emotions wrapped up around it that you just kind of want to be in isolation and you just kind of want to keep it to yourself. We're not going to twist your arm, and oftentimes we may not even know. But if you are in a spot where you need some orange, you need some help, listen, just tap us on the shoulder. You don't know who to tap me on the shoulder. Find an elder. Tap an elder on the shoulder. Find a staff person. Tap on the shoulder and say, I just need to speak to somebody who can partner with me. And that's how the conversation starts, right? We want to do that. I'll give you an example, or I'll tell you a bad example. The very first funeral I ever did in my entire life, I was probably 23 years old. I was a part of a large church in South Florida, and a young man had died in his early 20s, and his family kind of went to the church. I didn't know this guy. I didn't know the family. I just got tapped on the shoulder and said, hey, here's a funeral. We need you to do it. I met with the mom, and I'm like, tell me about your son. How can we celebrate his life? Her response was, I have no idea. He's been a thorn in my side since day one. I'm like, okay. I'm like, well, and I'm just trying to pull anything out. She just went on about how his drug addiction, how he would always steal money from her, steal items from their house and sell it for drugs, like just one bet. And I looked at this mom and I'm like, what do you want me to say? I'm so glad there's not a recording of that funeral service. I have no, as my first one, first of all, in the situation was horrible. It, you know, thank God it hasn't gotten any worse. Sometimes that's what life seems like for us as parents. Now, here's a disclaimer, right? Here's my disclaimer. You may feel that way, but it's not the truth, right? So let me say this to us moms and dads in the room who are in a tough season. Just because your kid is doing stupid stuff doesn't make them evil, okay? Let me say this again. Just because your kid is currently doing stupid stuff doesn't make them evil. I want to take a, okay, raise your hand if you're in the room. Thank you. Okay. Let me take you, now raise your hand in the room if you're older than 30. Okay, I'm going to take you down memory lane. Can I take you down memory lane? There was a time in your life, and I know you're not going to believe this, but there was a time in your life when you were 14, 16, 18, 23. And there was a time in your life when every decision you made was all about you and what was best for you and to protect your stinking friends. And you would look at your mom and dad and you would lie to your death. I know you. We have like memory that we forget that. And we look back about how good we were as kids. You were rotten. You would lie, you would do whatever you could. I mean, and sometimes we forget that as moms and dads. Listen, there is hope for your child because look at how well you turned out today. Do you realize how when I was 16, my dad was a moron? Seriously. Like me and my dad had so many fights. I mean, I don't know how my dad kept from going to jail from just beating me up. Because I was I mean, you guys know I'm funny today. I was really funny then. And a smart aleck, even more so. So imagine this funniness at 16. My dad didn't think it was funny at all. And I just thought my dad was so dumb. He didn't get me. He didn't understand. But you know what? I'm 41 this year. My dad's come a long way. You know, he's a lot wiser and smarter than he used to be. So, Dad, if you're watching online, thanks. I'm glad that you're maturing and God's working in your life. And now we're on the you've made it to my wisdom level, right? At 16, at 18, at 22. Like, you were doing stupid stuff, saying stupid things, being silly, being foolish. And so if you have a child right now that you're just ready to strangle, relax, okay? They might just look a lot like you at that age, and there's hope. Now, I want to talk about the next thing. So they're a gift. They're a reward. And he also says that they are this thing. They are arrows, all right? They are arrows. And what is the purpose of an arrow? Is that arrow's purpose? Was an arrow created to set on a table? Was an arrow created to hang on a wall? Now, you may hang it after you kill something with it. That's the arrow that killed that, right? I don't know. Maybe you have the hat where the arrow's through your head. I don't know, right? An arrow was not created to set. An arrow was intended to fly. And King David says that not only are our children gifts, rewards, they're also arrows. They have a purpose. And I want to spend some time today talking about some observations about this arrow. The first one is this. Arrows are made to move towards targets at which we aim them. So let me grab this bow. So our arrows, hang on. Our arrows are, you know what? This is too crazy. Let me use this one. This is better. Yeah. We tried this in run through this morning, and it did not go well. We actually had a drummer, and he's you didn't know you were getting a message in a comedy show, right? Awesome. Okay, so here's the thing: our arrows, our kids, right? They will head in the direction that you aim them. Now you're like, well, what if I don't aim them? Like, what if I choose not to aim my child? Well, here's what you must know, moms and dads in the room, grandmas and grandpas, people who care about kids. Children are not aimless. Children are not aimless. Like, your child will be aimed, will be pointed at by whoever their primary influence are. You need to hear this. So if you're not your child's primary influence, either because you've released that, like you've given up on it, or it was just too much for you and you let it go, or you made a decision, I promise you, it's your kid is not aimless. Your kid is not without direction. They are just being aimed by whatever their primary influence is. Now, that may be a coach, could be a teacher, right? Could be a counselor, could be an instructor. It might be somebody that you're really excited about. And I would say that if your kid's primary influence is you're a fan, then support the snot out of that person. But if you look around your kids and you're like, man, I don't like who they're hanging out with, you got to do something about that. Your child, listen, will not be aimed by the right influence. They will be aimed by the primary influence. I know what you're teaching your kid is the best thing. But if you're not the loudest voice in your child's ear, they're not listening to you. They're going to listen to whatever. There's a principle that I'll share with you. And it's good for us adults too. You ready for this? The direction of your friends will determine the direction of your life. The direction of your friends will determine the direction of your life. What's that mean? Teenagers in the room, here's what it means. You hang out with kids who like to get high. You hang out with kids who are disrespectful. You hang out with kids that tend to get kicked out of school. You hang out with kids that are drinking on the weekends. Guess what you will be doing? I guarantee you. If you don't believe me, ask your dad. Ask your mom what they did with what their friends were. You do what your friends do. And if you don't do what your friends do, guess what? Your friends don't hang out with you. The direction of your friends determines the direction of your life. Parents in the room, adults, this is so applicable. Like, you will do whatever you do with those that you hang out with. Like, for example, if you hang out with me, you will not get high. Because I don't do drugs. Now, you might get fat. Because I eat at Taco Bell way too much, right? Amen, right? But you're not going to get high, right? The directions of your friends will determine the direction of life. Here's the deal. You hang out with guys like me, I promise you, you're going to hear scripture. You hang out with guys like me, hang out with guys like Charlie and Anita, Stanton and Summer, other. I mean, there's so many of us in the room that you hang out with certain ones of us in this room, you are going to hear, like when you say something about life, we're not going to go, and sweep it. No, we're going to speak into that. And we're going to give scripture and give truth because, man, I want to be a primary influence. Like, I get to pastor this church. And I want to be a voice in your life, a voice that helps aim you to the direction that God's called you. What are we referred to in the Bible? Are we not God's children? Right? So I know that we're talking about your little arrows today and your grown-up arrows, but you too are an arrow that belongs to the Heavenly Father. And you are going to be aimed by your primary influence. Is the Lord your primary influence? Or are you influenced by whatever culture is thrown your way? Whether it be a news media, whether it be a magazine, whether it be a movie, whether it be a subset of friends. Like, whatever has the greatest voice in your life will be the thing that aims you, not necessarily the truth. So moms and dads, if you are not the primary influence, and you're really not excited about what is aiming your child, I'm begging you to regain that position. Leverage every resource you have. Leverage your calendar. Realign your life. Because there's nothing more important than how your child is being aimed. I mean, bribe them. Buy it. Steal it. Whatever you got to do to sit back and go, well, I don't. No. You got to go after it to say, man, I am so concerned about where you're pointed right now. And I know that kid at school has got your primary. I know that boy that you like or that girl that you're in love with is your. No. You have to regain that spot and you got to aim that arrow because it's headed towards a certain direction. That makes sense? Let's continue on. All right. How about this one? Before an arrow can fly, what has to happen? You have to pull it back. Like if I let go of it right now, what's going to happen? I'll show you. Do you want your arrows to fly or do you want your arrows to flop? Come on, you don't want your little kids to flop. Man, I want my kids to fly. I want to one day watch my little arrows soar through the air, accomplishing everything that God designed them to be. Because God is the bow and God designed the arrow. My kids and your kids and us as people, we're created in the image of God. And then God says, you know what? I am going to put you in this bow, but before I can shoot you, I have to pull you back. Moms and dads, you have to pull your kid back. Boom. Bobby, you want to stand right there, put a donut on your head? Let me see if I can hit it. All right? Right? I want our kids to fly, not flop. But if we don't pull our kids back, that can't happen. Right? And here's the thing. Pulling your kids back is a lot like coaching. If you want to be your kid's best friend and pull them back, it can't happen. Now, my dad, like I said, I'm 41. My dad's 65. We're buddies now. It's a completely different relationship. Me and my son Luke, who's 7, I'm his coach. I'm Luke's primary influencer right now. My daughters are 9. I have twin girls. I am their mom. We are their primary influencers. I'm not giving that space up, right? I want to be able to. Now, sometimes it's not for the best. You ever heard the statement, an apple doesn't fall far from the tree? So, I mean, like, Luke has a wrestling name. I love WWE. Luke's name is Luscious Luke. Yeah, Luscious Luke. He has a whole gimmick. He'll walk in. He has a dance that he does. I'm not secure enough to do it, but he's got one, right? It's hilarious, and it makes me, when I see him do it, I'm like, that's my boy, you know? And Jen's like, that's your boy, you know? But, you know, Luke, when he has picked this up for me, because sometimes just being funny, like if Jen asks me to do something around the house, I'll go, like I'm sleeping. Now Luke does that. And I'm like, dude, listen, you're getting us both in trouble. You got to stop, right? But there's also things where I want to aim him. I want to aim him to be humble. You know, humble doesn't mean that you think less of yourself. Humility is when you think of yourself less. Like, I want my son to be humble. I want Luke to be kind. Like, I'm aiming him to be kind. I'm aiming him to be generous. This morning, you know what that little stinker did? He came in and grabbed an envelope off the back of the chair, took $20 that he was given when we went on vacation in Florida from his grandparents. And I said, what do you think? He goes, I told you I was giving it to the church. I didn't tell him to do that. And to watch my son choosing to be generous with $20 this morning, I was like, that's right. Great parenting, Matt. God's doing something in my boy's life, right? So I want him to be humble. I want him to be kind. I want him to be generous. You know, I want him to be thankful. Like, this is something we teach our kids. Like, it's not odd if you were hanging out with us and we go to Target or Walmart and we get a close parking spot for my kids to go, thank you, Lord. Like, I'm just teaching my kids to be grateful for close parking spots, for anything, right? Funny one was when we were in Arkansas on my sabbatical, I visited with my family for several weeks. We lost power one night. And when I say we lost power, we're in a town of maybe 30 people. We're out in the middle of nowhere. And power went out. And so behind my parents' house is like where all the stuff takes place, like where they fix it, like the electrical thing. I don't know what you guys, we don't have it like that here. Anyway, the county truck pulls up, and we're watching my mom's back window. About 60, 50 yards out there, we're watching a guy get out of the deal. And the kids are like, well, who is that guy? Well, I don't know who he is. But my kids don't know I don't know who he is. And I go, oh, that's Steve. And so I'm like, let's pray that Steve gets his power back on, right? So we're just watching Steve, and we watch Steve hang out there for a little bit, and we watch Steve get back in his truck and leave, and the power's not on. And the kids are like, Steve! Right? About 30 minutes later, we're in bed, and the lights come on. And I went, oh, thank you, Lord. And Luke goes, thank you, Steve. That's what he said. Funny, right? And so, but we aim our kids towards certain things. But they just don't get there. We have to pull them back. We have to create tension in life. We're looking for coachable moments, right? Coachable moments. And also, what's happening right here as I pull back? What's taking place? Tension. Because that's what's going to make the arrow fly, right? And so let's talk about tension. Tension looks a lot like teachable moments. Like as parents, sometimes we have to create teachable moments. Like you have to look for situations. Like I'll give you two. I'll go back to Luke. Luke has struggled tying his shoes. Teachable moment. Luke has a hard time right now running through first base. When he hits the ball in baseball, he wants to watch how far he hits it. And I'm like, run, bro, you're going to get thrown out. Last game we played, guess what happened? Got thrown out. And after he's walking back to the dugout, he looks at me and I'm like, ain't like we ain't talked about this. You know, we get home and we talk about him getting thrown out. And we're also having this conversation because you have to tie his baseball shoes. So we're having this tie your shoes, running through first base conversation, right? And he starts tearing up on me. And I grab his little shoulders and I'm like, listen, buddy, you got to help me coach you because I don't want to, I'm not asking you to do something that's unheard of. People all over the world right now are tying their shoes. You can totally do this, right? And I watch people all for an hour and 20 minutes run through first base. I know you got this. But when I talk to you about something and you start crying, I don't want to defeat you. Like, I don't want my son, when I say, hey, Luke, come here, for him to go, oh, man, Dad's going to be on me again. I don't want that, right? But there's times when I have to create tension. It's a teachable moment where my son can do something that he doesn't yet think he can do, but that I know he can. Moms and dads, here's a silly one, but let's say you're at a movie and you're watching a movie and a preview comes on and something happens in that preview, or words are said, or a situation in the movie that you didn't know, and you're like, oh my gosh, my kids just saw this. What do I do? Cover your eyes. Cover your eyes. It's a teachable moment. Hey, what did we just see? How does what we saw align with our family values? How did what we just see align with what we're learning in Kid City? Like, instead of trying to protect them from everything they may see out there, to sometimes, man, the world's just going to throw you a teachable moment, and you can either cringe or you can leverage that thing to improve your kid, to create tension, so that one day when you release that, it flies. Make sense? So we pull our kids back, we coach them, because if we don't and we just release, it's just they're just going to flop. We got to pull it back, and then we aim them to where we want to go, create tension, and again, we let go. And that's the last principle of this. Before an arrow can fly, it has to be released. And this is cue the tears. All right, this is the hard part for moms and dads. Letting your kids kind of begin to make decisions. Letting your kids begin to move out. Sending them to college. Watching them get married. And I'm going to encourage you in this now, because I know when I get here, I'm going to be a big white hot mess. I can't watch a wedding or go to a wedding without bawling, thinking about my little girls marrying some bozo. I'm telling you, like, I am a softy when it comes to that stuff. But here's what I've had the privilege of doing. I worked at a church in Florida for 10 years. It's called Flamingo Road Church. And, man, everybody that I worked for all had children who were either middle school, high school, college, or young adult. And so I got to watch these men and women parent their kids in a way that their kids not only loved them, but wanted to be around them. And so I've got some good examples that I focus on a lot, right? Now, at the time, I didn't have kids. I was still trying to talk Jen Wells into dating me. But I got to observe. So I want to talk to you for a minute, for those of you who are in the season of releasing, not about what I've experienced, but what I've observed. My assistant, her name was Holly Farver. She's a dear friend. I got a picture of Holly and her husband, Tim, up here. And what I want to talk to you about with them, what I observed Holly do, was I watched Holly release her oldest child, Corey. And she began to release him his junior year of high school. And it was hard. What she started to do in her junior year, and she'd been doing this for a long time, her and Tim, is they had pulled Corey back and they had aimed Corey, and there were teachable moments all the time. But there comes a time when you have to release the child. And then in Corey's 11th year of high school, they begin to let Corey make more and more decisions. And they stopped rescuing Corey from the decisions that he made. When Corey got into the 11th grade, they began the process of asking him more, hey, what do you want to do? What time do you want to get up in the morning for school? How much time do you think you should devote to these studies? What do you think about your work schedule? Instead of saying, here's what you're going to do, here's what you're going to do, here's what you're going to do, they begin to ask Corey, what do you think is best? And he got to benefit or suffer from the consequences of his decisions, right? Does that not what we do as adults? You make a decision and you either benefit or you suffer based on what you chose to do. And they begin to do, and I'm telling you, Holly would come in on some days and she would be crying. Some days she would be coming in and she'd be fighting mad. Some days she would come in and she'd be so disappointed. And on a lot of days, she came in very excited about the decision that her son Corey had made. Here's a picture of them with Corey. So you kind of get a name with a face. That's Corey there in the middle on his wedding day. And Corey is a fantastic human being. Holly and Tim did something very wise. They did two things that I think is really wise. First of all, they didn't wait to release their kid. They didn't wait to begin to release Corey his freshman year of college. Like, we pull back, we pull back, we pull back, we create tension, and all of this stuff, and then we don't begin to let go until they get a freshman year of college, and you let an arrow go into a place that is full of wild arrows. And they do stupid stuff because they don't know. Because the primary influence is whoever they're around. And they just, they're all over the place. What they did that was so wise is they begin to let Corey make decisions while they were still his primary influence, while he was still under their roof, while they were still paying for his bills. And they begin to let him succeed or fail based on what he did, and they were still able to coach and mold him to what he would do once he got out on his own. And so when Corey went to college, he made a lot of great decisions. made a lot of good decisions. Here's a picture I wanted to grab that I thought best represented Corey. It's him in the back with his hands up. And that's not Corey on the day he got baptized. That's Corey on the day that he had baptized those two people in front of him. Because the second thing that Tim and Holly did really well is they partnered with their church. That orange thing. They took the heart that they had for Corey and they paired it with the light of the local church. And together, man, we worked together to help shape Corey to the person, to the man, to the husband and father that he is today. I'm proud of that kid. I had the privilege of being his student pastor. And he was a handful in the best possible way. That kid was so creative on breaking rules. I'm telling you, he was so creative. We'd go to summer camp and I'm just like, and Holly's right. I mean, me and Holly would be leaving the camp. I'm like, Holly, I'm going to kill him. Holly, Corey, you know, I'm just like, but man, today, and this is not the end-all, be-all deal where I'm going, but Corey's story, where Holly and Tim aimed him, is he met this girl, Jamie. She was also in our student ministry. They got married, and today, you know, Corey was pulled back. He was aimed. There was tension, and he learned so much. And today, he's the student pastor there. He's doing it for a lot of kids that I did for him. And he's baptizing students. He's teaching them about Jesus, right? And he's taken all of that stuff, all of that tension, and when Holly and Tim released him, Corey made decisions on the direction that God had been preparing him to. Now, I want to connect the dots for us in the room, because some of you are like, man, I don't have kids. Why am I here? You are God's child, and you are God's arrow. And at times, he pulls you back because you need to be pulled back. You need coaching, and sometimes God creates teachable moments in your life because he needs to teach you something. Can I tell you real quick something about teaching about life? In life, you can either learn or you can get taught. Do you know that? In life, you can either learn or you can get taught. My friend Mike Grubbs has taught me this. I want to be a person who learns. Because Jesus tells us this in his words, specifically in Ephesians, that he has begun a good work in you and he will complete it. Like when God taps you and he says, this is what I'm going to do in your life, here's what you got to know. He will complete that good work because he has determined it. Now, you can either help him get there faster or you can fight him every step of the way and he can taught you. Life will give you scars. And I want to be a follower of Jesus who learns, who's soaking up all the things he's doing. I don't want to have to be taught. But if that's what God has to do to get you to be where he wants you to be, then that's what he will do in your life. He loves you that much. But he will pull you back and he will create tension. And he will release you to the very thing that he's called you for. And that's what we're going to begin to study next week, is what has God created and designed you for? What's that look like? Man, I want us to win, right? I want us to win like Corey there and allow God to do in our life what we're trying to do in the lives of our kiddos. If you're a parent and you're a part of New City Church, you don't have to go at it alone. You can. Like Dennis, I don't know if we have that slide up there, our kind of our main slide. The people on the island are kind of our series graphic. If you want to stay on that island as the mom and dad that's isolated with nobody around and your kids are crying and fighting, have a ball. Seriously, take your red heart for your family and just stay isolated. But man, it is my hope that you will partner with all of the rest of us on our crazy islands like that, and it becomes a community where we do things together. Amen?